Jesus, just a mention of your name. Flowers bloom, the desert blooms again. Like fire in winter's cold, like your precious soul. Jesus, just a mention of your name. Oh, Jesus, just a mention of your name. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again. Like fire in winter's cold, like your precious gold. Jesus, just a mention of your name. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. If you draw to him, he will draw nigh to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. Hallelujah! Oh yes, hallelujah! Jesus is coming. Is coming again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I know your arm is not so and can reach me through. So as I pray and press my way into your kingdom through, I grow to be more like just reaching out to you. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short and can reach me too. So as I pray and press my way into your kingdom, I grow to be more like you, just like reaching out to you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we approach thy throne, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory. We bless thy holy name, for thou art worthy of praise, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Holy, holy, holy unto thee. Heavenly Father, we gather here together as a people called by thy name, Lord. A people, Lord, caught out from this world. A people, Lord, that thou hast so graciously opened their eyes to see the hour that we live in now. How close, Lord, just about the edge now, as you turn the corner, we'll see the light of home. And how much more than the people we ought to be, to watch, O God, how we live this life that you have so graciously given us, Lord, that we be worthy of the gospel that which you have given us, Father. We praise you, Lord, even as you approach that with the Lord taught, continuing from what we had left off. Praying the Lord Jesus to stir in our heart now as to our relationship with you. We ask for your blessing today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to continue where we left off some time back and message from heaven, message from the footsteps that is left upon the sand of time. Back in ages gone by, holy man of God, whose life speaks so loudly for every one of us in this generation. And the things that were written here in this holy word of God were written for our admonition, to encourage us to emulate the life of the saints of God of old. They paid the life for the faith that they have. And we may think, oh, how brave they are, how faithful they are, they have been. But when we look at ourselves, we ought to be like wise, not just to say, oh my, what men and women they were in those days, they are willing to give up for their faith. There comes a time of trial and testing in every one of us, our life. Some more, some less. But God wants to test our faith is to see us whether we really believe in Him and hold fast to that which He has given to us and which we say that we believe in because of what the Lord done for us on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. If those things that we possess is precious, those things are precious to us, then let our life therefore be fully committed to the things that we possess and they say we believe in. Now, we look at Abraham in the last time that before I left to go to Cambodia, but let us go to the book of Hebrew now and just record our text. In the book of Hebrew, chapter 12, and verse 1 to 3. All right. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which do so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. You know, Paul, one who wrote such beautiful epistles, sometimes I wonder whether the kind of life that Paul went through and that he was able to write such epistle. And you know, you just look at it, you just wonder whether is that so easy to go through with Christ, with Christ Jesus on a journey when your life is always being attacked, persecuted, in danger of death, tortured. Lest you be weary and faint in your mind. And I was just thinking, you know, a lot of us with a little affliction here, a little trial there, we just cannot focus on the thing that God has given us. This faith. The faith. The very passion of Christ who died on the cross for you is passed to us. To feel that passion. To endure the cross with all the, well, the sinners despising Him, mocking Him. Can we just feel the passion? Sometimes I just wonder. Maybe when now that the movie, The Passion, is coming to Singapore, you take a go and look at it. And I think it's going to be very tremendous. Young people are not advised to go because it's very violent, because the producers trying to depict the exact 12 hours of Christ's life. Sometimes when we read the Bible, you don't see the violence, the fear that exists among the disciples, the confusions that's going on perhaps around the particular time in the life of Jesus Christ and in the life of the disciple, the decision that must be made. Oh, the passion. Now I look at this thing that is going on in the world today. When I saw this, heard about this news, about this movie, and then the thing that's been discussed on the internet, well, I was wondering maybe this is going to prepare the people for what's ahead. To make a choice, the last choice you have to make, the final choice, the decision. Who is this man called Christ? And what would you do with this man called Christ? You know, we say we are Christian people, we are believers of Jesus Christ. But do we take heed to the message that sent from heaven? We talk about Abraham. Abraham was not afraid to stand up on God's promises and go with Him where God leads him. Someone who, you know, just new to Him, someone who just acquainted with Him, I don't know for how long, and would take his word and follow to a land that is a total strange land to him and build a new life. And through that descendant of Abraham, there came a peculiar people called the Jews. And why did God give them all this strange law in the first 5 books of Moses? Was to make them a peculiar people, segregate and separate away from the Gentile world, from the Gentile nation, their pagan practices and all their tradition, things that practically are blinding the people's eye, the true Creator. Abraham stepped out in faith, going out looking for a city. He wasn't looking out for a literal land, for whatever on earth is a land good for. Because he's having a great relationship with the Creator and so forth. Therefore, he was not looking just a piece of land called Canaan, the promised land. He was looking for that promised land beyond the sky, beyond the life of a normal person. And Abraham went out there looking for a city not built with hand, and he died in faith. And he died in faith. And where is Abraham today? He's spending his life in the promised land, called paradise. And that's what men like this, when we look in the Bible, we can appreciate. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23, we read here on Moses, verse 23 to 29. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian assailing to do were drowned. Here was a case of a man who was born in, not born, but raised up in Pharaoh's palace. So to speak that he had a silver spoon in his mouth, maybe at least more than a silver spoon. More than gold, maybe it's a diamond spoon in his mouth. He was practically next to Pharaoh, you know, in all things. Because he was raised up in the palace. But came time when he was revealed to him that he wasn't an Egyptian. That he had totally had no relationship with them. And that he was actually a Hebrew. That he was actually a member of all those poor souls out there making mud or baking mud into bricks and to cut up blocks of stone to create the pyramids or some tombs for the pharaohs, to build a city of tents for the glory of Ramesses and all those great, well, whether it be the queen or the king or the grandfather or the sons of God that will follow. He was part, he was a member, he was of the family of those wretched people out there. You know, when he recognized his identity, hey, he turned around. Do you recognize your identity? Do you recognize your identity? So you're not born in Pharaoh, you're not raised up in Pharaoh's palace, but you know we all raised up in this wicked world. What's your identity then? Is this life on this earth all that is to it? Do we have visions like Abraham to look into the future, to look for that city not built with hands? Can we be like Moses and like, wow, I'm not the son of Pharaoh's and all, or the son of the Pharaoh's wife. Though I'm raised up here, I've eaten Egyptian bread and garlics and all the nice food here, but hey, I'm not them. The very spirit went against the spirit of my blood. The very spirit that is in me, he tells me, I don't belong to them. And those people out there, the righteous, they are my people. And I'm the one that helps to give direction here and there as to the whole building of the whole city. Building of all these great palaces and, wow, theme parks. I don't belong there. He turned around. He was not afraid. Like he said, forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Because he endured as seeing him, God, who is invisible. You know, the problem with us many times is that because we are all born in flesh, though we are all born again, most of us, I believe, are born again. Amen? If you are born again, you know, sometimes Paul says about this old man that you must put to death. Many times we don't die daily. And so the carnal nature always creep up from behind us and boo. And we get woke up and say, yes, it's fun to be in this world. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be, to put the old man to death, you know. But if you don't put the old man to death, what happens? He comes out and boo you like a ghost and he takes over. And when he takes over, my, you know, he began to play havoc in your life. And don't say, Satan make me do it. You know what I mean? Satan didn't need to do it. No, Satan didn't make you do it. We are the one that either we nail the coffin down, nail the coffin, that put our old self to death permanently, or we don't. Huh? Because when it comes out, my, you know what he will do to our life? He will just go about creating all the carnality in us to do the things that we want to do for this carnal flesh. To satisfy this carnal flesh. Moses said, I have enough of this rose pick. Now, I don't know whether Egyptians eat picks or not. But I don't mind trusting you all this land chop, nice rose land. No, he's in the king's palace. He's always having silver plates and golden plates and fork and spoon as gold. Of course, they don't use gold. They don't use fork and spoon, but whatever. I'm just demonstrating, illustrating. He had all this nice food. But when you look up there and see all the slaves, wow, they took out maybe just 20 minutes for a little bite. And what do they have? They tuck into their mouth? I don't know what they have. Some grains, that's about it. Some, perhaps some bones that have been chucked to them, left over, starved maybe. And Moses, oh my. Man who recognized identity and left the king's palace, not fearing the wrath of the Pharaoh. Say, you bastard, you have been raised up here. We have picked you up and raised you up as a son of Pharaoh. And you dare to turn around and despise our kingdom and the king. So, Moses turned on his back. He may be called and cursed by the Pharaoh, whatever name it comes. When you are an enemy, when you stand on the ground of faith on what God represents to mean to you, the whole world is going to destroy you. Huh? They could run you down. You are a nobody. You are a blasphemer. You are... Oh, like that God called Jesus Christ. You are the devil. You are illegitimate child. They will fight for with anything and everything. But you know what I'm... so glad is that all these years when I stood on the faith that I have received, what God has revealed to me all these years. I have received all kinds of letters. And people have spoke all kinds of things about me. And imagine all kinds of things about me. And you know, I'm so glad because I know I'm on the right path. You agree with that? Sure. When everybody speaks against you, you are on the right path. I remember one time too when Singapore government, the PAP came into power, and the president of the government came to power all those years back. Oh, a lot of things. Everybody speak bad about the prime ministers, you know, for this, for that, and all these things. I was wondering, why did they speak against him? And they said, oh, we are on the right path. You know? When you have people speak about you, that you are so good, you are something in problem. I look at North Korea. Huh? They always, the father, Kim Jong-il, or whatever he is, and, you know, the whole people are all being brainwashed to say good of him, and he doesn't know that he's bad. So when you know, that's what God, the Brother Bram said, you know, the way up is down, and the way down is up, and when people speak good of you, be careful. When they pat you too much on the back, be careful. Something's not right. Something's not right. So we see then that Moses was not afraid to suffer. What the Bible here says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Of course, Christ means the anointed word. The word he received. You know, the afflictions with the children of God that he identified with the Hebrew children are better than the pressures of the world when he was in the palace. You may go through many trials. We go through tribulation. We go through a lot of temptation. But as the Bible here said, Moses, in verse 29, well, he was, of course, being a leader when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and with the army following them, and they came upon this Red Sea, and how are they going to get across? You know, I don't believe that Moses take thought for tomorrow, what he's going to do, what he's planning to do. And God says, go, this way they go. He didn't say, what if? What if? What if tomorrow all this thing happened? What if? What if? Young people, what if? What if Jesus don't come? So, oh, I waste my life being a Christian, so goody, goody, goody. What if I believe as a Christian, I don't have friends? What if? There are a lot of what if this thing happened, what if that thing happened? I think you, every one of us, choose a path to go. When I was young, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, about 11 years old, oh, yes, after 1 year, I was tempted and I was kind of, well, deceived somehow, you know, I was caught off guard. Went into the world of pop song for about almost 2 years, but my heart never left the Lord. And the Lord called me back. And that time on, everything is the Lord. My mind is made up, focused on the Lord. It's on the Lord, because I want to go home. I recognize who I am. I have an identity that I'm not a citizen of this world. Though I'm a citizen of the earth, but not the world. I don't want the world to go where the world goes. I want to go where God wants to lead me, or where God leads me. Do you understand that? We all have to have a direction. This life is complicated. Yes, this life we live is complicated. Every year it gets more complicated. Maybe for in Singapore. I don't know, for Sister Wilma, from India, where they find it is so, not. In India, the roads are very complicated. The transport system is chaotic. But when you see, every country has its own complication. The life will be complicated when the society became more free in expression. It's terrible, isn't it? Oh, it's just so terrible. But Moses, and you know what he did? When he come to this land, I mean this mess of water ahead, that lies ahead of him, and there's nowhere to go. And the army of Pharaoh is coming from behind. And the children of Israel said, oh, Moses, we're all going to die here. You brought us out to die here. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Sometimes, you know, there's so much complaint. You know, in heaven, you know, God's in heaven every day, hear all these complaints by Africa, by America, from Canada, from Singapore, from all over the world. You know, he has a lot of telephone lines. And all these bell rings, if him there's a ring, you ring, he hear all, wow. He hear all these babble of sounds and complaints and grumbling and, oh. Huh? And that's what Moses, oh, Moses, you bring yourself to die and all these things, you know. Oh my, I don't know how, but I think Moses was quite a meek man. Pretty meek. He's a man that told God, I don't know how to speak. I'm alone. I don't know how to speak. Think my brother Aaron, he know how to speak better. God even rebuked him, you know, who created mouth. And so because he doesn't know how to speak, perhaps like my brother Jimmy, he doesn't know how to speak sometimes. So he's going to make a little bit. People doesn't know how to speak, quite meek, you know. And then, wow, with all that grumbling, Moses had, I mean, I think he feel frustrated too. You know, he kind of, wow, these people have no faith. He just come up with faith and do whatever God wants him to do, and he expect God to get him through. That's why in the book of Abraham, you know, the Bible talks about, book of Hebrew, when the Bible talks about looking to Jesus, the order and the finisher of our faith. He started journey out for Moses, he's going to finish it. He started for Abraham, he's going to finish it. God call you. Is he the author of your faith? If you know him, you have the revelation, you hold him, he's going to finish that journey for you. Oh, of course, unless you're a doctor, you know, a make believers. If you're a make believer, then you don't expect to go through to the end. You probably go out there in this wilderness of the children of Israel and end up all dead, never get into the promised land. Oh my, Moses probably said, okay, now everyone hold your horses. Now I'm going to put out my rod over the water and then just see what happened. He put his rod up, you know what happened? Well, that night, the whole night, the water, the well was a lot of strong winds, you know. People might be thinking, Moses, you put up the rod, so what happened? Then nothing happened. Moses, just go back to sleep and wake up tomorrow, we'll see. So how one went to sleep the whole night, the wind blew, in the morning, you see the water parted. The whole land was dry, the water bed was there. So they all crossed the Red Sea. And the Bible said, of course, the Egyptian following, they were drowned. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I'm so glad because you know what an unclean thing is? 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Moses, he was a Hebrew. He was of the seed of Abraham's. You know, when you recognize who he was, hey, I'm in unclean places. I'm not a son of Pharaoh, that's an unclean title. That's an unclean title. Son of Pharaoh. I ain't a son of Pharaoh. You know, today we have a lot of crazy things going on around the world. Somebody really scares me for what I see out there going on. We live all these years. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Huh? Lately, you know, I think since the last 2 years, it seems maybe. On televisions today, you know, a lot of junks came up from America. And it's so bad. Now you have what they call reality show. A lot of this reality show that is so ridiculous. But Bachelor, The Bachelor, and don't know what else, you know. You just look at what they advertise and what they speak about, or write up about article in the newspaper, and you read about it, say, they're sickening. How could they do that? You know, a man looking for a woman, and so many women contestants, and then, you know, they go out dating here, and then they make love, and whatever going on in that life, in reality, under the camera, in front of a camera. And they're being. And I wonder why this is being shown in Singapore. You understand? And it just seems to be part of the way Americans live. So many things. And you have influence upon young people. Their ideas, you know, your mind, young people, let me tell you something, your mind is so tender, so easily manipulated. Do you know that? Back in my days in the 50s, in the 60s, when I was then, of course, became a Christian and worked in a, began to start to work in the hospital. Because, you know, we want friends. And in the church, when I was attending, they were friends. They were couples walking out together, you know. You see a couple here walking there and there. So I said, Lord, you know, what am I going to do? And marriage is all in your hand. You know what I mean? I'm never talking about boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. It's never in my mind. But of course, at the time I was working, I was already, I guess, about 20 years old. By the time of 19, when I tried to date a girl in the church, tried to get her out, then let's just go for some, you know, meal. She said, no interest, so that's it, top it off. That's one, that's the first and the last time. Just, okay, no more, all right. And I just left between the hands of the Lord. I said, you better concentrate on what God called me to do. You see. I like the advice Zal gave Zoe one time when she was in school. No daddy. Schooling means schooling. You know, but today it's so sad. A couple of days ago, I was in Westmore. And here was secondary one, or secondary two at least, short, just so small, like Timothy's height. You know? I mean, not the height, I mean the smallness. the girl above was at least secondary one or two at the most. And in front of everybody, they hold each other and kiss each other. Continue kissing each other. You know, I was all after kissing each other and talking to each other, and everybody was looking. It's a common thing in school uniform. Hey, if this happened in the 60s, man, oh man, everybody was staring them in the face so hard they embarrassed them. But today, it's so common. Young people, let them behave the way they behave. No deal. Not my children. That's not the way to. You know, well, I'm so glad that some advice given by parents here in our fellowship is good. I talked to some of the parents, and how did you talk to your children? Because really, we are living in a time that don't let this body burn in the place where it's stimulating things that are not supposed to be. You know? Wow, where did they get that? You can see that on MRT, in the bus, they are doing that. Young people just sitting there and they kiss and they hug and, wow. Years ago, well, today's paper, headline. It is no longer the Malay, those who took drugs. It's no longer the Malay that they are rising up. You know, more Malay taking drugs. No, it's a Chinese. I said, won't be surprised. Ketamine, Yaba, and all the beautifully, beautiful, funny drug name that they give. Ecstasy, ecstasy. Eyes. My. The Chinese. Young people are taking drugs more and more. The parent doesn't know what's going on in the children's life. Many of them don't know what's going on in the children's life. Parents are to be blamed many times. Oh my. And you, young people, you be honest and sincere with us because God is looking at it. This life is not just the flesh. You are alive because you eat, sleep, and so forth. There are three things in this natural life that we need. Pure air, water, and earth. But there are three things spiritual that you need the most. That's faith, hope, and charity. And if you want to feed the spiritual man, feed the spiritual man. Huh? What have happened to America that bring all this junk to the rest of the world? No wonder brought up the hand and said, America is fallen. I no longer pray for America. For a prophet who is well known around the world, who is well known among America and Canada, he stood up and said, "This, I no longer pray for America. It's finished." The brother at one time said that, you know, all this fashion that came up from Hollywood and all these things. Oh, it's spread around the world very fast, isn't it? When I was young, as a young boy, primary schools and secondary school, I was always fascinated by America. Read the comics, and those that are the cowboy and the Indian, and all we think, I was thinking at that time, well, yeah, our mind is so manipulated, we think, oh, the Indians are the bad guy, and the cowboys are the good guy. Little when I grow up, a little that then I began to learn more about American history. Because I was, this is why I was fancying about America, was because the gospel was spreading around the world because of the American Christian people that wanted to get the gospel out to the rest of the world. So I was fascinated, so I always looked into history. Every country that I visit, even today, I want to know what's in the background. Oh, I was so glad about America, how it was, when I look into the early time when there were pilgrims from Europe, running away from the tyranny of the kings and the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church. Sailed across the Atlantic and over to America, they called that the new land, the pilgrim land, the promised land. To build a new society, to build a new nation. That was in the early 1700s. And after a while, the British went over and they also wanted to have a part of their share. And when they went over to Europe, the Boston area, they wanted to tax the people there and this and that. And so there was a revolt. In 1776, I believe, there was a revolt and the American became declared independence. A couple of years down the road, in the 1800s, there you have the Civil War between the North and the South. And then we always thought that this war was about slavery. Well, perhaps it was about slavery, but that was not the slavery. It was because the ideology of those who is the president, which is Abraham Lincoln, and those down in the South, in all these Georgias, South Carolina, North Carolina, those other people saying, you know how they speak in those Southern accent, you know, that, like, that right, you know, the brother Ben Howard thing. It's all from Georgia side. And there was a man, I can't remember, as a captain or whatever he was, a major, whatever his rank was, I can't remember, Robert E. Lee. He doesn't want what they call a federal government to control, you know, this people say they want to have independent, just like what we have over in Malaysia today, Terengganu or Kelantan, you know. They don't want the whole federal to control them. But Abraham Lincoln had a vision. And that's why I believe that God, if I look at history, I know that Abraham Lincoln was such a man who feared God. He always got on his knees like George Washington. They are men with a vision. Abraham Lincoln knew that he was going to die too, that he would be assassinated. God even showed it to him. Men like that, where do you get a president today? We got men like Peanut Guy, you know, Clinton. And today, what kind of person do we have? George Bush, he wanted to be a warrior because he was a warrior. So he acted like a warrior and sent all these men out there to die. To try to build a name for himself. And for every excuse that he could have. And today, now, this year they're going to have election. We got all kinds of men running for governments and governors and mayor and whatever it is. We got Hollywood stars and even model today in the paper. There was a model wanted to run for it too. Oh man, what do you think they are doing? And when America had this civil war in the 1800 something, a lot of people, a lot of citizens died for nothing. Then, of course, they all went after a cause. And you know what Abraham Lincoln won the war was because God was with him. And he's, you know, the ideology of Abraham Lincoln was that he wants to make the whole America to be such a powerful nation that all the nations of the world will become like the image of America. And that's why people in the world today, every nation in the world, is trying to have the image of America. But that's not the kind of image that Abraham Lincoln was looking for. If he's alive today, because no longer the image that he wanted. I can guarantee you that. Huh? He was a man of faith. He kicked away all the legal stuff. Free the slavery. But today, America is no longer what it is. If you ever look at what happened out there in America in those years by, when they were pilgrims, the people would have such faith. There are people who stood on the word of God, what they call a Protestant. Protest means, I stand on the word, this is my faith. They have a value. When they went across America, they all, you know how they dress? Oh, long sleeve. The woman have long sleeve, up to the collar. Long skirt. Right to the ankle. They all wear shoes all the time. So by America's cold. Have you been to America in summer? And they all had long hair. You talk about being, oh, it's hot here in Singapore. You want to have a hair cut short. Guilty of all these things that you don't know what you have been doing many times. Think about it. Think about what the saints of old had done. And see what these pilgrims trying to build a society for the world under the hands of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and such great men in those days. But you know, later on, you know, America, they have this, when mint the coin, in God we trust. They always have the Bible, the bill on the faith of the Bible. But today, they are tearing all this down. And it goes very slowly. Because they want their rights. Everybody wants their right. They got a mad woman came around and take the Bible out of school. Huh? And they got other woman come around and start to bring forth designer's dress, so called. Designer's dress. Some crazy dress you ever seen on display in the window? Designer's dress. I call it Satan's dress. By and by, what happened to the skirt? It goes up. The sleeve disappear. The neckline gone. Punched down, V-shape. Get it a little tighter. So all these have to change. Have to change. Hollywood project the image. And Satan is just using that. Not only to the world outside there, but creep into the church. Right? Think about it now, young people. I know young people here in Singapore. You know, I remember back in those days, I think Brother Joseph would know as a policeman or those who are in the security or police force would know about it. And you know, every one of us know that in those days, back in the 50s, when Singapore opened up the communication and tourists kept coming in and to build up Singapore. You know, the government banned a lot of pornography magazines, books. Huh? Many tourists, and I do not know, perhaps at that time when they came to Singapore with a magazine, the Playboy magazine, they were seized. Huh? And then when the internet came to Singapore, ISP set up, they tried to block all these pornography sites, but they couldn't do it after a while because there's too many. And you get popped up into your email, you get popped up into every time when you search something. Huh. So now it's freely available. VCD, smuggled illegal VCD everywhere coming in. Pornography. School children are watching pornography. So is it available? The image is projected. You young people, don't, let me tell you something. We are living in a tremendous time at the coming of the Lord. And the Bible said when just before Christ comes, the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. And there will be sins so very much abound in the life of many people. Oh, isn't it terrible? God has sent a message for us to this generation. And we're looking back to the generation, there have been always messages in the Bible through prophets and also in the life of the people of God. Those are messages to us to help us to get our direction right where we are going and what we're going to do in this life. Yes, Singapore has opened up communication technology. And you young people have access to all these things. Technology, my goodness, you have access to it. You have a lot of fun with video game and little, what they have, what do you call that little box again? No, the small little thing, you use a hand, you press a little Game Boy. There are different kinds that you play. Now even on your handphone, you play a game. Technology, you see, that's technology. Oh, so much of these things. Oh yeah, some are good, some are bad, but you must know what to do with it. We can tell you this thing, you don't do that, but it's you that make the decision. And if your mother and father is wise, they're going to guide you into it. You better think about it. Not just the wisdom of your parent, but the wisdom of God, the spirit that lives within you that you claim that you have. That's how serious it is in our world we live in. That God has been separate. Moses separate from the world that he was brought up. You see, Moses was born to this in the earth, but he was teleported, so to speak, somehow, into the world of the Egyptians. Pagan life, worldliness, have all the luxury. But when he recognized, oh, he wasn't of them, he has identity, he was, whoa, born again, so to speak. Hey, I'm not part of this thing, let me get out. Let me identify with the people that believe God, that are children of God. Huh? You know, I watched documentary many times. Many times I don't watch it anymore. I used to watch many of their Earth Visions and Discovery, things like that. You know, I love to watch. And that's what documentary about countries, about culture, life. Nowadays, I don't really have that much time, but once in a while I do. And I watch one on this program on television. I can't remember what channel it was, but it was dealing with fatness of people. In America, there are a lot of people that are so obese. A lot of Americans are very obese. And their father was all because of the food they eat and so forth. And all of them went going through a crash diet to bring back their life. Because they have to, because the obesity is killing them. With the price that's been on their heart. Diabetes and so forth. Sure. Then you have others. About, as I said last week, Twiggy. Oh, Twiggy is no more. It's a long time ago, but I think it's back in the 70s, I believe. A skinny little woman, young girl. And a lot of young people wanted to be like Twiggy. And they don't want to eat their food and went into bulimia. And they fell sick. And many can die, actually. Once you stop eating, there's no way. And went to a bulimia, you will not recover many times. How terrible it is. People think the skinniness look very nice. It isn't. Huh? You are what you are. See, my wife, you see, she is part of the Lin family, like Yang and Jackie. They're all prone to plumpness. So all they have to do is to watch what they eat. So they don't have to go to a salon, slimming salon, to get pampered here, up there, and try to spend thousands of dollars to bring the body back into the shape of a tree, of some supermodel. Not every one of us born to the world, young people, or you adults too, huh? I don't have a body like Brother Sung, you know. Like Jimmy now. Jimmy was once very skinny like Christopher. You should see him. You could see some photographs show them. You know? Skinny. Then the skinny was then that Clement. Brown skinny. You know? When you had an army, he built it up. You understand? Some people build the body. Well, you do all the exercise, okay, on your own, go to the gym you want to. But don't waste your time spending money on salon and try to... Oh, one time Zoe came back home, I don't know, told my wife. My wife told me that usually I hear story from my wife about these children. They say, oh, mom, I'm getting fat. My arm is getting flabby, you know. My wife scolded her. What flabbiness is that? Your father is skinny, you got your father's gene. How can he be fat? You think for a moment. Huh? You see? So, you know, but today you see all the advertisement in the paper. And now the enhancement. It just all amazes me. People are so taken up by the fat. You know, the breast. Oh, they're so taken up by this enhancement. Wow! People are spending money to the salon, this and that. You pamper the body. You pamper the body. Where are you going to go? Huh? Hollywood, America, is a nation that is under judgment of God. And as Abraham Lincoln truly looking forward to, the other nation will come to that image. But of course, I don't believe that Abraham Lincoln had that kind of a vision to see that the world is having this image of the present day America. See how terrible that is now. See the twist. Everything that is good. Don't you think so? When God made Eve, do you think Eve was not beautiful? Or Satan said, let me do it better. Make it better. Give a little eyeshadow. Give a little bit more eyelashes. Dun, dun. You know, when she blink her eye, it's very seductive. Yeah, she just said, I don't know what to do. The lips not rose enough, not red enough. Give you a little bit of redness of it. Huh? The cheeks not rosy. Give me a little redness to it. The ear doesn't sparkle. Put a little ring on it, a little diamond on it. Drill a hole, put it there. Huh? Oh, Eve has hair is too long. Look like a ghost. Cut it out. Make it look like Adam. Looks much better. You see, that's how the devil is going to boo-boo your mind. That's what the way it goes, you know. That's why, you know why the devil was able to get at the woman? And bring forth the whole, bring down the whole human race. But the faith that we have, look at John the Baptist. You know that those things in the world are unclean things? That's what Moses left, those unclean things. Look at John the Baptist and Stephen's message. Okay, Matthew 3, 7 to 10. Matthew 3, 7 to 10. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And did not say within yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for as said unto you, that God is able of this stone to raise up children unto Abraham. But now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bring forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Huh. John was not afraid to speak the truth. John was not afraid to stand up and hit out against these religious hypocrites. Right? He knows he's going to pay for his life anyway. Sooner or later we are going to pay our life for it. Acts chapter 7 verse 54 to 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up, steadfast into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I like that. You know one thing, when Christian is being persecuted and put to death, they didn't say, they didn't cry out, Lord, take vengeance for me. Right? It's only the Jew, eh? They went to stand for the faith. All this example. We got one more. Matthew 23. 13. To 36. Woe unto you, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, but you shut up the kingdom of heavens against man. For ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that they are entering to go in. What do you describe a Pharisee, hypocrite? For you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greatest damnation. You know, wow. You see the way that Jesus spoke against the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, when God gives us a chance to speak to the Catholic or to whatever other denomination, be clear not to tell them that their faith is wrong. And show them where. Because they will hit you out. And they will call you all kinds of names. You're not going to expect that anyway. Huh? What unto you? Scribes and Pharisees, you compass land and sea. Make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. What unto you, blind guide, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is not, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blinds, for whether is greater the gold of the temple that sanctified the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever swear by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gifts or the altar that sanctified the gifts? You know, there's so much commotion going on in the days of Jesus Christ. All this religion interpreting certain things. And they prevent people from going into the kingdom. Huh? And want people to follow them. And they prevent to proselyte these people. And many of these people, they are proselyte, they are to follow the child hell than the leader himself. Because they don't know where they are going. They are being deceived. Young people, I pray you are not deceived by the things of this world, you know. There are religious things out there in the world too. You know this Valentine's Day? Sometimes more I think about it, I get a little bit sick of it too. I mean, sometimes young people express their love one for another. Yeah, they go buy flowers on Valentine's Day. Be my Valentine! But you know, that Valentine thing is actually a Catholic stuff. Very pagan. So you don't have to show your girlfriend you that you love her or love him on Valentine's Day. Don't be influenced by this Valentine's Day. You can do it to her, or give it to her, I mean, or him. Other than just Valentine's Day. You can make the 1st January your Valentine's Day. Why must it like the Catholic rules and everybody go crazy? In India, they are beginning to do it. And that's why the Hindus are protesting against these things. At least they are wise enough. You know. You can make every month a Valentine's Day. You know, March, my Valentine's Day. April, my Valentine's Day, on such and such a day, you select it. You can create one and tell your wife or your husband or boyfriend, this is my day for you. Every time I must remember, this is my Valentine's Day. People ask you, why are you giving me flowers? That's Valentine's Day. What? There has been changes. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. But you know, that's where the world is being this year, fallen into all these things. Here we see, of course, Jesus Christ. Against the Pharisees, he was crucified. John against the Pharisees, the ecclesiastical system, he was cut off. His head was cut off. Because Stephen, stoned to death. because of what he's declared. And the rest of religious people say, oh, it cannot be. He saw Jesus Christ on the right hand of the power on high. They are so righteous. They are so religious. But the faith of John the Baptist and stuff tells us what they believe in. Now we talk about Paul, the apostle. He speaks. I like that. Let's go to Acts 2, 22. Acts 22. And we have just 19 to 20. Paul said, I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyrs, Stephen, was shed, I was standing by, and consenting unto his death, kept the raiment of them that slew him. Now that's Paul speaking. How he was like one of those Pharisees going out to hunt down all these believers. But what he saw, he couldn't believe. Huh? Okay. Acts 26. When God began to deal with him, Paul, then God began to show him what he must do. And he said in verse 19 to King Agrippa, oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I ask you today, how many of you have a heavenly vision? Where are you going? Do you have a vision where you're going? Do you have a vision in life? Huh? I hope Joao is going to get out from the RASAF. I want to know I don't even know whether he had a vision where he's going from there. Huh? And you young people, you have a vision. I don't know. Well, at least you're honest, I do not know. But sit and think what vision you are. If you what line you're going to do in your career, you know. If you want to go to be a doctor or a technician or whatever it is, you must have a vision for what you're doing. You understand? Don't say, oh, I want to be a doctor. You study 1 year, 2 years, and say, oh, I think I'm better fit to be a something else. And then, something is wrong. Huh? Oh, I want to be a murderer. A superstar, mortar, walking down the catwalk, you had a hit examine. There are certain visions of the devil. Don't forget that. The devil is about to take your mind and shape you. Because you understand, this whole world is under the power of darkness. You understand that? This world, the god of this evil world is Satan. And you're not part of this world. So separate yourself from all the filthy visions and unclean things, as Paul said too. Separate from these unclean things. You don't belong there. I don't belong to this world. This world is not my home. Just passing through. So set your focus right. Have a vision. And if God has saved you and God has called you to a heavenly home, a heavenly mansion, then your vision should be that. Where you are going, where you are heading. Huh? Is that right? Stay on the center of the road. Don't go to the left, neither to the right. That's what I like about Paul. You know, he's going straight to death. What about the harlot Rahab? Joshua 2, 18 to 21. Some of the old time, we're going to close a little while. Joshua, chapter 2, verse 18 to 21. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the door by thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, we will not be guiltless. And whosoever shall be within the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou alter this our business, then we will be quit of thy oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto thy word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet thread of the line in the window.
Oh my. A harlot, Rahab. She recognized who these people were. Huh? And she made a covenant with them. Okay? This we will do, the spy said. As long as you're in the house, and nobody goes out, anybody's in the house, they'll be safe. Anybody else go out, you get killed, not our fault. Because we are here to kill all these giants. You see. But if anybody is in the house and anybody comes in, or any of our men comes in the room and kill you, then we are guilty. Well, she was willing to take the risk to protect them because she saw who they were. Hey, do you recognize who you are? Do you recognize who everybody else here around you, who they are? Huh? Do you recognize the message? Do you recognize why God sent Baruch by him? Do you recognize the ministry? Are you going to take the risk? Why do I separate myself from denomination? Why do I separate myself from denomination? Why? After all, denominations were so big. The stronger they are, the more members they have, the stronger would be their strength, wouldn't it? Oh, the Bible did say in the multitude of counsel there's foolishness too. I won't want to be part of that. Messed. And I'll take the risk. I'll take the scarlet thread of God, of Christ's blood. I will take the word that's pure. That's right. Huh? Because there is only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. There's not this Trinity stuff, not this stuff and that stuff. Not some creeds, some man-made things. God will start a work if you are willing to follow all the way, He's going to take you to the end. You see, remember that Christ never forsake us. We are the one that forsake Him. Always think about that. If we are a true sheep, they were lost. You know, He will leave the 99 look for that. But if you are not, He's no longer look for you. Because you know, every time He takes you, you struggle. But if you ever come to realize that one day He will break your leg. Just in the story of the Good Shepherd too, not in the Bible. Break the leg of the lamb. He can't move. The shepherd purposely break it. Then put a spin on it and then carry the lamb around his shoulder. Everywhere where he goes and lead the rest of the sheep. When he went to the pasture, the shepherd will take the sheep down or the lamb down and let it sit beside him. Huh? And after this is healed, the little lamb will never go astray. And sometimes God beheld us to break us real bad. But I pray He won't. If we make mistake, it's one thing. But if we recognize the mistake and we don't want to correct that mistake, and we are rebellious, that's because we want to have our own way, then we have a problem. Paul said, I am no longer myself. I don't belong to me no more. I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And the prisoner has no right. No, did you know that? The prisoner has no right except the one who is the master over the prisoner. When he says speak, then you have the right to speak. Otherwise, you don't have no right. That's what the Bible says. I'm no longer my own. I belong to Christ. Genesis 5:21. This is the last character we'll look at. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. You know, walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God. I like that. How do you walk with God? You know, how do you walk with God, Enoch? Or you just wonder how you walk with God? Be faithful to the word of God. Just what the word says, do this, do it. The word says that, do that. Don't have your mind of your own to do contrary to the word of God.
Do you know there is such an excitement among some of the believers that chorus for me? I look at them. You know, the Lord is so good that He began to show us so many things all these years. And one other thing about it is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the denomination don't seem to have an inkling of it. When we look at the return of Jesus Christ, when He will come, the denomination says He can come any day, any time. That's nonsense. He won't. He will come according to the time that He appointed. He will return only when the fullness of time is come and finished. And when the Gentiles' age is over, when the fullness of Gentiles is finished, He will come. And when He comes, He will come according to the day and the time that He has fixed, according to the calendar that He has given to Israel. And that's why Christ will return to Israel in the Feast of the Trumpet. He will not come in January. No, He won't come in January. He will not come in April, the Passover. No, He won't come that day. The Bible says, watch and pray. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will give unto lead and guide us into all things. Do you believe that? You think that, the Bible said, the Bible said that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. Oh yeah, He will come as a thief in the night if you are not watchful. He will be as a thief in the night. But the Bible says, if you or anybody know that when the thief is coming, will he not keep away and watch?
Yes.
Oh yes, Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night of the world. And we know that He's coming. So are we not going to watch and pray? Oh yes, I'm going to tell you that. I'm living in exciting days. I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not going to look at things that's going to happen. But I want you to be part of it. The thing when He comes and starts it off, I want you to be around. And to know the relative thing of things that happens, you know, in your life. Don't be left. Don't be caught unaware about all these things. So you know what we got now? Therefore, just learn to what we got. I know it's going to be a hard walk. It's not an easy walk. It's not an easy road that we are trying to go on. That's the song set. There's thorns in the way here. There is a potholes in the way here. There's crevices in the way here. There's a little pitfall and rocks here. If you're not careful, you're going to trip and fall. Like the vision that I had, a dream that I had. When I heard the voice of the Lord sounded, I found myself running on a plateau. But even though it's flat, there was a lot of potholes and stones here and there. You know, uneven crevices. But if you just look ahead and just run, you will fall into the ditch. You know what I mean? Trip and fall into a little hole or kick a stone. So when I looked into that direction where the voice come forth, I run towards the voice, but I was looking at the ground so that I would not step on the hole and trip and keep running and look up and keep running and where I was running. Sure, some people walk and say, I walk with God, you walk blindly. There are a lot of people in the world, the Christian world today, they say they walk with God, but they are walking blindly. Oh yeah, my pastor says so, I walk. And the Pope says so, I follow. And your leaders are the blind, you know. You're blind because you're looking up there, but you don't even know where you're walking. The Bible says, watch and pray. Watch and pray, not just pray, not watching. Watching how the Bible unfolds, how what God is revealing to you as He speaks to you. And the end of it, of course, we're waiting for that one great thing. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:51. We all know that well enough. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. We shall all not sleep. Sleep means die. You know what I mean? But Christians don't die actually. The word you sleep. Seven. Slab. I like that word, you know. So one day, somebody died. Don't start to cry and get all upset. Hi, son, are you sleeping? Okay. So then we'll weep a little bit because, well, he's gone from this world and maybe we miss him for a while, you know? Everything that passes over this world is only for a while, just like a sleep. You wake up. I go wake up Lazarus. I don't like that. After all, Lazarus is always smelling, all the worms are eating up. Oh my! I wake him up from the sleep! Oof! How is that possible? I like that one on this day, as Job says, my skin will eat up my All right, resurrection. Sure, you stand before the Lord. Huh? Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we are looking forward to that day. So let us walk so that we will please God. One more final one, and that will be Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 10 to 12. And he said unto me, seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And all this is being fulfilled in our days. Not in the days of John, actually. As you see the thing unfold, we realize that the things that is in this book is being unfolded to us. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is in me, to give every man according to as his work shall be. Or you can add everything else to that verse 12. He that did want to be lazy, let him be lazy still. He that is a greedy pig, let him continue to be a greedy pig. Simple as that. He wants to act stupid, let him be stupid still. He that refuses to hearken to the word, let him refuse to hearken to the word still. Because this is the hour we have to make decision. You make a decision once and for all and do whatever you want. Because you know why? Why do you want to waste your time? But to me, eternity is now. You understand? Eternity is now. I really am saved by the blood of Christ. I'm born again in the kingdom of God. I have eternal life now, not when I die. And I'm just walking closer and closer to that paradise that I will see with my own eye. So with all the message of man and woman in the modern day and all these things that God is showing us, what a manner of man and woman, what a manner of boy and girls and teenager that you are, as believer, as Christian, ought to walk in the light of truth for this hour and be bold enough to walk like Enoch walked with God. Steadfastly, holding on to the faith, and knowing that it will be brought to a complete closed when Jesus comes. And He will just finish it all for us as we do and walk like Enoch walked with God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace, Lord. We praise You. Take the words, Lord, that has been spoken, O God, and bring it out further to every one of us again. I pray, Father, Lord, You stir within our spirit. Stir within our spirit, Father, in this hour of time now, the lateness of time, to always, Lord, to bring to our memories, our mind, O God, of the prophecy that has been fulfilled and the faith that, Lord, that we ought to contend for more earnestly now than before. And to walk with You just like Enoch walked, Lord, as the age comes to a close and Christ will return for His bride. Oh, that we be worthy of the gospel, O Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, and to grieve the Holy Spirit. All the young people, Father, just help them all now. Young and many times, O Father, am I being stirred up by personal emotions and carnal desire, Lord, to be a part of this world and following the image of the world. But let them all, Father, realize, Lord, that these things will surely pass away, for heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word will not pass away. And as long as we hold to thy word and your word in us, Lord, and we follow and walk in that word, then we will have our reward because you promised it. And those that say they love you, Father, and not keeping thy word, as thou say, if you love me, keep my word, and if you keep my word and my commandment, then you are my disciple indeed. Lord, just help every one of us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you.